Well, good morning, everyone. We'll open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for one of the things we thank you for is that you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for being here in our presence. And we thank you that you're always with us, no matter where we are. But Lord, so often we have so much noise, we can't hear you or really sense your presence that clearly. But this is a good place to be. And so, Lord, be with those who aren't here this morning and different ones, different things. But we are here and you are here, and that's all that's necessary. So lead us now in this time of looking at your word once again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're in Psalm 111 today, and 111 is a praise psalm. And of course, we love praise psalms, don't we? And this is a praise psalm, basically for the works of God. The works of God. How important are the works of God in your witness? And we see the works here, they're used almost, I think it's 580 sometimes in the scripture. So works, and not all of those are works of God, but most of them are. And so we see his works are really something. We'll see the word work or works six times in this little psalm of 10 verses today. We will see it 79 times in the book of Psalms. Psalms is way ahead with 79. Next is Exodus with 52, and then Isaiah is next. And then after that, they drop off. But we have these works. This psalm and 112 are kind of twin psalms. They're both acrostics, and that means alphabetical. And so each of these psalms has basically 11 thoughts to it, which are 11 lines, really. And the lines basically contain two things, which is 22, which is a number of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet. So each of these phrases then start with a different Hebrew letter. And so again, anytime you see the acrostics, you know it's the Holy Spirit, because man can't possibly come up with anything that makes sense with having those. I'm just going to start this phrase. You can always find a word to put in there, but it doesn't fit, right? I mean, it just doesn't fit that well. So this is an acrostic, and it begins by saying, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. I thought we would just start with this old classic hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. So let's rise and sing this if we might.
Thank you.
Father, you are holy, and we just praise you and want to worship you this morning as we come to you in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. So Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, in other words. Praise the Lord. And then the very first part of the acrostic and the first verse is, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. How much is my whole heart? You know, I don't know, but it's probably a little more than I am praising him with. I don't think I would ever really consider ever doing anything with my whole heart any more than I'm using my whole brain. I understand we use, what, about 9% of our brain? I'm really thinking hard, Lord. I'm really, really praising you, Lord. Are you praising with your whole heart? In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, that's us. It was a good night last night. We had the Just Church, and that's what it was all about. The need to be assembling ourselves together with the body of Christ. And we probably used this example before, but if you went out with an army, and let's say you had 10,000 men on one side, and the other side you had one person, how effective do you think the one person would be in conquering the enemy? That's about like we are if we don't go to church. Not the church, I'm not talking about a salvation issue, I'm talking about an effective, to be effectively used by the Lord. Because if we're by ourselves, first thing that happens, we're going to magnify our problems many, many times greater than they actually are. And we're going to withdraw, and we're ineffective. And we get, like in here this morning, with the body of Christ, your problems can almost disappear if we just start focusing on him, right? And you see his magnitude. So as we go through this psalm, we'll just see his beauty, I think. Verse 2, the works of the Lord are great. Think about that. Man, I look out there and I see the sun coming up. I see the leaves on the trees. I hear the birds. Wherever you look, I mean, it's just unbelievable. That's just a morning, you know, and it goes on and on. The works of the Lord are great. I know if we went around the room saying, what's the Lord doing in your life this week? You'd all have some stories which would just blow our minds, really. But that's the Lord. His works are great, and the things he has done and are doing and will do. Think of the works of sanctification in my life and in your life. Think of, if you could imagine it, what's the work of glorification going to be like? Beyond. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. So man does try to understand. His, meaning God's work, is honorable and glorious. Honorable and glorious. I love it. And his righteousness endures for how long? 50-year lease, right? And then he's out of here. His righteousness endures forever. What a God we have. Listen to this, verse 4. He has made his wonderful works. Why? To be remembered. Remembered. Think of the fear and fright the children of Israel went through when they were trapped between Ahiroth and Mount Migdol, I think it was, at least those two mountains, and the Red Sea was at the end of the pass between the two mountains, and the other side is Pharaoh. It says 600 of his modern chariots. Those were all chariots with the knives on them and so forth on the wheels, and they just go through the people and mow them down, you know, had no chance, and here they are. But what does God do? So the world will know who I am. So man will know who I am. He parts the Red Sea and they walk across on dry land. My, what works. And it goes on and on, doesn't it? He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. And then the end of that acrostic there in verse 4. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. It just doesn't say the Lord is gracious and compassionate. It says he is gracious and full. How much does it take to fill the Lord? How much compassion does it take to be full of compassion? He has given food to those who fear him. Well, see, the word fear in this psalm, and especially in the next psalm as well. In fact, the next psalm actually starts off with that very same kind of thing as to those who fear the Lord. To those who fear him. Now, this is reverential trust. This is not, oh, I'm scared to death of him. Reverential trust. How much do you fear the Lord? I don't think you can live a godly life without fearing him, right? I'm talking about, do you really want to hurt Jesus on what he's done for you by sinning? And that's kind of a fear. I fear that I would hurt him. But not enough. I don't think enough. It's still too much flesh in my life. He will be mindful of his covenant. He has to keep his promises. He has no choice. He has declared to his people the power of his works. And then an illustration of that in giving them the heritage of the nations. Just to think, you know, if you come across any Jewish people and they doubt the Lord, or they doubt Jesus, or whatever. Anyway, they doubt. You know, you might say, do you know the nation of Israel is the greatest miracle in the world of all times of countries who ever survived not having a homeland for over 300 years? No nation has ever survived for not having a homeland for 300 years. They not only survived after 1,900 years of no homeland, but they were still intact with their religion. They were still intact with their language. Just think about, you go to Israel today, they speak Hebrew. They're still worshiping. Yes, they don't have, they're still in the Old Testament. They haven't gotten in the New Testament yet, but they will one day. But we see here the power of the history of the nation of Israel. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. But he kept them. Man cannot do that. And we see it's not because of them that they're so great. It's because of his name. This is what he said he was going to do. In fact, he's chosen, and even in us, what, the foolish of the world to confound the wise, his name. Verse 7, the works of his hands are truth and justice. Truth and justice. I love it. All his precepts are sure. All his precepts are sure. That means positively, no flaws or defects or changing, they're sure. Verse 8, they stand fast forever and ever. Not just they stand fast, not just they stand fast forever, they stand fast forever and ever. Eternity and eternity, or other words, no end. And are done in truth and uprightness, yes. He has sent redemption to his people. The cross. The cross always goes back to the cross. And the victory over death through the resurrection and then redeeming us to that. I was reading this story just about, you know, the one sacrifice that, of all the sacrifices made throughout history, what is the one sacrifice that Jesus has told the church to do? That is the Lord's Supper, right? To partake of his body and his blood, to remember that. And then I was reading this account at Passover, what they would do with the lambs. First thing they would do, they would run a pomegranate stick through the shoulders of the lamb, and attach the front legs to that, so to speak. And then they would run a stick through the mouth of the lamb all the way through out the other way. And they would bind that around, because what they would do in the old days, the families would sacrifice the lamb in their homes, right? But then as time would go on, and then it all went to the temple. And so what they would do, they would have thousands, hundreds of thousands of these lambs prepared for people to take them home and consume them. And they were all in the form of a cross. So here's the sacrificial lamb. What a picture of our Lord, right? So the lamb is then, the long part of the lamb is the vertical, and then the shoulders there were the horizontal. So I was just thinking of that as I look at this, the redemption. He has sent redemption to his people, and that is through what he has done for us on the cross, right? He has commanded his covenant forever. And then holy and awesome is his name. I don't know what your translation is for that word awesome, but in the King James, it is reverend. Only place in the Bible, the King James, I don't know, but I didn't know the other translations. Maybe it is, I don't know. Only place reverend is used. So it's not good at all to call any man reverend. So this week I had a very well-meaning neighbor. He's been calling me reverend, Catholic background, and that's what he should call anybody who's a pastor or whatever. But I asked him, I said, call me Phil. That's what my friends, I want my friends to call him, and you're my friend. And so he had a little tear in his eye, and he says, okay, I'll call you my friend Phil. I mean, but isn't that right? There's no person who's reverend. That's a terrible. And some of them even go beyond that. The right reverend, or the very right reverend so-and-so. Are you kidding me? Anyway, holy and reverend is his name. And then the close, the fear of the Lord is what? It is wisdom, but it is the beginning of wisdom, is what we read here in Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, isn't that true? Think of every believer you talk to, or every believer whose life they see. They all have one thing in common, pretty much. They don't fear the Lord. They don't know the Lord. How can they fear the Lord if they don't even know the Lord? But they don't have any respect for him because they don't know him. But the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom. So without that, the Bible says you're a fool. Now, you can be a very wise fool in terms of IQ. I don't mean wise. You can be a very knowledgeable fool. You can know a lot of knowledge. Think of all the, our colleges are full of those. Lots of knowledge, but no wisdom and no fear of God at all. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who, what? Know his commandments? My Bible has a shorter word than know. It has D-O. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. So it's one thing to know them. It's another thing to do them. And then his praise endures forever. Isn't that awesome? What a beautiful psalm. Father, we do praise you for your faithfulness and your justice. We praise you for your works, so many works. Thank you for the precious family able to join again this morning here and just to listen to your word for a few moments and then to be able to respond in prayer and led by your Spirit. And so lead us now, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. We come to the kind of the end of the hour here, and just want to close with this song. We've sung it quite a few times, but oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise, O Lord our God. So let's stand if you would like, and we will sing this song.
I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all unknown. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh Lord our God. And then on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven.
Father, we thank You for meeting us here this morning once again, and we do want to praise Your name continually. Lord, as we walk out this door, and help us to have our ears open today to You and our hearts open and just respond to what You would have us to do with a willing heart, and help us to keep in prayer those that we know need prayer, and maybe those we just talked to yesterday or the day before or last week or whatever, and regardless of how that came, outcome, the seeds were planted, and we know the germination is only being done by You. We can't cause anything to grow, but You can cause everything to grow. So, and we thank You for Your faithfulness again this morning, a desire to stand for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.